Hi, everyone. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance has questions, and we've got answers. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is another Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. One of the best benefits of being a member of the Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or Bella, is that if you have any questions at all about ethics and compliance, you can submit them to Bella's concierge service, which will connect you with one of our internal experts who will provide an answer and or direct you to a helpful resource for more information. Sometimes these requests are specific to a particular company's needs, but most of them speak to the broad challenges facing Bella members in general, and by extension, the wider ethics and compliance profession. That's why we're using this show to thematically respond to high-level questions from the Bella community. And joining us once again to give responses to those questions is Bella Chair Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, thanks for returning to the show. As always, it's terrific to see you.
Oh, Bill, thanks for having me back. As you know, this is one of my favorite things that we do. I love answering these questions.
Well, our next question is a leadership question, and this is a great one. What exactly is psychological safety? Why is it so important to ethics and compliance? And how does an organization build it?
So, Bill, psychological safety is defined as an environment in which you feel comfortable taking risks interpersonally and engaging in acts of vulnerability, to admitting that you don't have all the answers, and to one in which you are able to give and receive feedback openly and candidly. That is a psychologically safe environment. And there's been some wonderful research done over the years on why psychologically safe environments are ones where teams are more productive, ones where people are more engaged. And if you think about the typical work environment today, where so much of what we are all doing on a day-to-day basis is knowledge work. And a psychologically safe environment is one where I can unlock the power of my brain, which is what you hired me for in the first place. So some of the signs that you've got a psychologically safe environment, which, as I said, the research all tells us, is one where teams are more productive, the teams are more engaged, you tend to hold on to people for longer, the financial metrics are better, the KPIs are better, right? There's a whole host of business reasons why a psychologically safe work environment is a more productive work environment, and therefore one that is worth creating. But it's one where you can give and receive feedback. Hey, Bill, great job on that. Or, hey, Bill, I thought maybe this could have been a little bit better. And then your response to me is, wow, Erica, thanks so much for that feedback. I really appreciate you taking the time to share it, right? Not a place where I'm scared to say, hey, Bill, what about? Not a place where I'm scared to say, have you thought about this? Have you considered this? There's this aspect that I don't think you're necessarily factoring into the analysis you're doing. So that goes to that kind of criteria of questioning assumptions. Are there sacred cows that nobody's allowed to touch? Or is this an environment where everything's on the table and people can ask questions about why things have been done that way? And look, maybe the answer's great, right? Maybe the answer's, we do them this way because of X, Y, and Z. But if the answer is we do them this way because nobody's ever bothered to ask why we do it that way, and actually there's a better way, and thanks so much for bringing that forward, right? Those are the kinds of things that a psychologically safe environment is going to unlock. One of the other key characteristics of a psychologically safe environment is one where people are comfortable asking for help, asking a question, and admitting when a mistake might have been made. And I don't think there is an ethics and compliance officer on the planet that is listening to this conversation with us that doesn't say to themselves, that's the environment I need, right? Because that's how you figure out where people need support. That's how you figure out where there's an issue you need to look into. And that's how you figure out where there might be something that you need to address. So a psychologically safe environment has a lot of business benefits because we give feedback, we receive feedback, we push assumptions, we come up with new ideas, but it's also a good ethical environment because we're comfortable saying, I need help, I messed up, I think there's an issue here, and we feel like it's okay to do that. So those are some of the criteria of a psychologically safe work environment and some of the reasons why it's so important to build one.
How does an organization go about to meaningfully build psychological safety? And I'm thinking in terms of an ethics compliance officer who themselves understands all these things, but they recognize that their environment that they're working in is perhaps not the most psychologically safe. what are some steps one can take to start moving that needle in a meaningful direction towards the positive, so people feel more psychologically safe and create that virtuous cycle where psychological safety feeds ethics and compliance, feeds psychological safety, and so on and so on?
Yep. So we've built a couple of tools, Bill, that I think would be helpful to the Bella community. One of them is a manager self-assessment on approachability, because approachability as a manager is one of the key criteria of psychological safety. If people are scared to come to me, then I have not created a psychologically safe work environment, sort of by default. And some of the things we encourage managers to ask themselves on that self-assessment are things like, what is the typical nature of a problem that my team brings me? Do I only get dumpster fires? Because things generally don't start as dumpster fires, right? Things generally start as a small problem that gets worse and worse and worse because nobody knows how to deal with it. So if your team never brings you a small problem, then you probably haven't created a psychologically safe work environment. So the first thing is some self-awareness. Use some of those tools to get your managers to ask themselves questions about the extent to which they have modeled and created this environment where where people are comfortable coming to them with questions, concerns, and feedback. The second thing is to start to model. So as an ethics and compliance leader or as a manager, starting to model admitting when you made a mistake. Hey, my assumption on that might have been wrong. Let's talk about why, right? Doing root cause analysis on things that have happened with your team, identifying what some of those process issues that might have been that contributed to a specific issue, right? Those are the kinds of things that start to create an environment of psychological safety. And then, of course, having a conversation with your managers about all the reasons why it's important to build that kind of environment where people are comfortable raising their hand, taking risks, sharing ideas, and questioning assumptions so that they are open to some of these tools that we have created.
Well, Erica, this was such a great question, and this is such a terrific topic to learn more about. So thank you very much for offering your insights and your expertise on behalf of the Bella community on this. It means a lot.
Yeah, no, Bill, my pleasure. Absolutely. And this has been, this has been something that we've been looking at and talking about for a couple of years now. So there's a lot of resources both in Ethisphere Magazine and on the Bella Member Hub that go to this particular question of psychological safety. What does it look like? How do I build it? So if you're interested in this particular topic, I strongly suggest that you check out all of those resources because, as I said, it's something we've been looking at for a really long time. And the research on this topic is so good and so strong that it's something you can move the needle on relatively quickly.
To learn more about Bella, please visit bella.ethisphere.com to request guest access to the Bella Member Resource Hub and to speak with the Bella Engagement Director. And if you have a question that you'd like answered on Bella Asks, please be sure to use the Bella Concierge service and we'll get to your question just as soon as we can. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been a special Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.